born 14 years after that song was copyrighted, so I think it counts as an old song to me, I guess. But I grew up singing from this exact hymnal, and my dad is a pastor, and my older sister, she played piano for our church, similar to Joy does. And so they actually got to a point in which you could give them a name of a song in the hymnal, and they could tell you the number, probably about 90 to 95% accuracy. I never got to that point. I know a few, and that one would be one of them, except for I messed it up in the order that I sent out. But it's a great song to sing because it reminds us of why we are here to worship. Even if you don't know it, if you're introduced to it today, it reminds us that we're not here because necessarily our favorite songs are being sung, or because, you know, the preacher looks so great, you know, so sharply dressed or anything like that. Although you might think that today, but that's not why we're here. We're here to worship God. We're here to praise him because he's the only one that's worthy of our worship. He's the only one who's worthy of our praise. There's nothing else, no sports team, no pastor, no song, no anything that we could experience other than God that we need. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 4. So if you want to turn there in your copy of God's Word, about what do we need? What do we truly need in our life? And as I was reading this and preparing this week, I thought of a time in my childhood where I had a really strong need for something. And I wanted to share that with you this morning. Here is a picture, if I turn on my clicker here, here's a picture of what I felt was a strong need in my childhood. Oops, it went like 5 slides ahead. This Lego set is something that probably more than any other Lego set I ever got or ever wanted, it was something that I was completely and totally obsessed with. Every time we would go to the store, I would want to look at it. I told my parents over and over, I need to get this Lego set. It was getting close to Christmas, similar to now, and I need this Lego set. I have to have this Lego set or else my whole collection will be incomplete. I won't have any fun playing with my Legos that I have. I need to have this. And so I kept saying that. I kept saying, I need to have it. I need it. I need it. And so my mom sat me down one day, and she explained the difference between a want and a need. Maybe, you know, those of you with children, maybe you've explained that to your kids at times, the difference between a want and a need. She said, a want is something that you really like or you really would like to have, but you can live without. And a need is something that you can't live without. And so I thought, Mom, you're my hero. You've just proved my point. I cannot live without this Lego set, so it is a need. I need this. I absolutely have to have this Lego set. I can't live without it. I now know it's a need. Right? And so as a child, there were times where, you know, there's things like that you experience. And I did end up getting this Lego set for Christmas. My parents were kind, and they bought me what I wanted. And I had been, you know, paranoid about it. I had thought it was a limited edition set, and I thought, in my understanding as a child, that meant they were only going to have a limited amount of these sets that they were going to sell, and at some point they were going to sell out. And so I was absolutely certain I had to buy this before Christmas. I thought, everyone's going to want this for Christmas. They're never going to have it again. So every time we go to the store, I go to the toy aisle, and I kind of measure the box. And when we get home, I dig through my parents' closet and look for a wrapped package about that size. And I wasn't finding it. And so I was worried that my parents weren't going to provide for my need. But they ended up doing. They're good parents. They provided what I needed, or what I thought I needed. Right? And we can laugh about that. You know, if you have kids, you can probably relate to similar discussions or similar instances you've had with your kids. I know we will probably have the same with our daughter when she comes and grows up and has lots of needs that either I will want to provide for or Jenna will want to, and we'll have to figure that out. But as we get into adulthood, it's a lot harder because we don't have a parent telling us what we need and what we are just saying we want. So it's a lot easier for us to blur the lines between what we need and what we want. For instance, if you want a bigger TV, it's very easy to create circumstances in which you as an adult need a bigger TV. You begin to see flickers on the screen. It begins to not connect to your internet as well. You begin to have eye strain problems and need glasses because you can't see the score of the football game. It becomes a need. You need a bigger TV, so you buy one. Same can be true, you know, in a job. If you feel that you want another job or a different job, it's very easy to allow the circumstances to form so that you need a new job. Your coworkers, they complain about you behind your back. Your boss doesn't appreciate you. The customers are so nasty. You're tired of sitting all the time. You're wasting away sitting at your job all the time. You want a standing job or a more active one, or the other way around. You walk around all day and you're just going to break down at age 30. You need a new job. So it's very easy for us to sort of, as an adult, with nobody telling us what is actually a need or a want, it's very easy to confuse what do you need versus what you want. And we're going to be looking at today in Psalm chapter 4, where David is going to remind us that all we need, all we truly need in life is God, nothing else. There's nothing more and there's nothing less than God. And this psalm, if you were here last week, it ties in well, as we're going to read here, with the previous psalm, Psalm 3, where David is going through a hard time in his life, and he is able to find rest and peace in God. So if you're there in Psalm chapter 4, follow along here as I read. David writes to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices. Put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And so David is in a situation here that is less than desirable. The context of the psalm seems to indicate that there is some unrest. There are some men who are straying from his leadership, who are seeking after someone who will provide for their needs in a way that David apparently is not, in a way that God apparently seems to not be providing. It also seems that this may intertwine with a famine or some kind of economic hardship in that time in which there wasn't a lot going around. And so it's a hard time in which people are tempted to stray away from God, to say, I don't think God's going to provide for my needs. I'm worried about that. I don't think that God is providing for what I or my family need. And I think we can relate to living in such a time in which we begin to worry. Is God truly going to provide for what we need or what we hope for will happen? And so it fits in really well with our situation, as in any hard time, where it's tempting for us to believe that God is not providing or won't provide for us. And David, it cries out for the people to return to God, to trust in him, and to find all that they need in God. And so let's look here in verse 1, which David, he encourages the people, and as he encourages himself, to remember what God has done. He says, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness, for you have given me relief when I was in distress. So David, he's reminding himself, he's remembering what God has done in his life. We think there's a lot of things that David could probably call to remember. It's depending on when this was written. One is that his own son chased him and tried to kill him. We just talked about that last week. Another is that Saul had done that even way before David ever had children, had tried to kill David and hunt him down. There's other opposition that David faced as a leader that God provided for him and sustained him through. And so David's bringing these back to remembrance. It's a hard time, and he runs to God. He seeks God first. And so this is something that we should also imitate of David's response is that he doesn't go and doesn't say, oh, David went and talked with his buddies and said, hey, I need help. This is what's happening. People aren't wanting to follow me. They're turning away. We have all this that's going on. David runs to God first. He understands that God is the one who's going to supply what David needs. So he seeks God first. And this choice to seek God first, it strengthens David's faith as he calls on God and asks him to hear his prayers. It strengthens David's faith. It strengthens his heart by remembering God's faithfulness and God's character, something that we should be doing as well. And verses 2 through 3, it talks about here that his response to these men who are not listening. There's a group of people that are not listening. These are men who are ignoring David's rule. He says that his honor is being turned into shame. The honor that he should get as God's anointed king, they're totally disregarding what he's saying and going their own way. They're seeking out somebody who's going to provide for their needs in a way that they think David and God cannot. These men, they love these vain words, it says. It says, how long? He's asking them, when are you going to give it up? When are you going to stop seeking after these vain words? And if you did your homework last week and you read in 2 Samuel 15 through 19, Absalom, part of his strategy in overtaking the kingdom was that he would sit at the gate and people would come and they'd be griping and complaining about something David had said. And Absalom said, oh, if I were the king, I would take care of all of your problems. It's vain words. Absalom didn't have the power to do that. He wasn't king, and he didn't even deliver on his promises. But they were seeking after these vain words, these things. They're just trying to, they want to hear what they want to hear, and that's all that they're focused on. They want to hear that someone's going to provide for them and take care of them. So they love these vain words, and they seek after lies. So David, he's telling them, he's saying, how long are you going to keep this up? You're seeking after vanity, after lies, things that will never fulfill your needs. Because David knows only God can fulfill our needs. And so then we see a person who is listening, and that's the Lord. We see that God hears David's call. Could you guys advance that? Oh, never mind. That's good. God hears David's call. He hears the godly. They have been set apart for God. And so David knows that, just as he displayed here in verse 1, that when he calls out to God, God is going to hear. David is confident in that. He knows that the Lord is going to provide for his needs. And so he's saying, you guys are out here, you're seeking after answers and hope that's vanity and lies. Come back to God, seek him. The Lord will hear those who call out to him. So there's a contrast there that happens between the two. Then he moves on in verse 4, and he encourages them of some right behavior that we are to be doing, whether that's as we seek to follow God or when we realize that, like these men, we've gone astray. We've sought after things to provide for our needs that aren't going to meet our needs, that aren't God. So this is our course correction. You know, we prayed during the communion time that God would reveal any sins in our hearts that are unconfessed and that we would ask for forgiveness. This is a similar idea here. And he says to be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. And in times that are hard, I think it can be easy for us to let our emotions flare and things like that, and tensions and words flare. But what David is talking about here is not specifically that you guys are not to be mad. He's not saying get mad, just get real fired up and angry. But rather, it's in relation to our sin. When we realize we have gone astray, the word also means to tremble or be agitated. To realize that you have gone astray, and that should cause you to tremble in fear, as well as to have an agitation to realize that you got to get back on the right path. You have to have right behavior and follow God. And so that's why he follows and he says to be angry, to tremble, but then also to repent and turn from your sin. Don't sin anymore. Don't let that keep being the habit. Don't keep seeking after things other than God to supply for your needs. You need to seek after God and have that course correction. And part of prayer and being, a Christian, a believer, and following God is that we are to pray, we're to talk with God, but so often I think we think of prayer as coming and saying, God, I need this, 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 and this. And we don't ever take time to listen and to allow the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and to help us know what we are to do. You know, we pray a lot of times and say, God, help me to know what to do, because I need help with this, 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 and this. But we don't ever listen for that response, or we struggle to listen. So David is reminding them that when you are in this position, right behavior looks like being silent before God, asking God for help, realizing that he's going to give you what you need, but you need to listen. You need to be quiet and still before God in those times. And also, David says that they're to offer right sacrifices. Now, we understand that in those times they were under the Mosaic law, and so they had sacrifices that they were to do. But David doesn't just say offer sacrifices. He's looking at the heart of following God. And rituals are not enough. Just coming up and killing a lamb is not enough for there to be forgiveness of sins, for there to be right behavior. For the sacrifices to be accepted, they must be offered in faith by people who genuinely trust in God and look to him to provide. That's why David says, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. He is the one who supplies your needs. And David, in verse 6, he addresses a question that is being asked by these people who are starting to stray, who he's encouraging to come back to God, to repent, to trust in the Lord. And the question that David records, he says in verse 6, there are many who say, who will show us some good? And this is the wrong question. It sounds like what they're saying is, hey, we need help. Who's going to help us out? But what they're actually saying is, which God should we follow who can actually provide for us? Because if they understood that the Lord is the one who shows them good, who takes care of them, they wouldn't be asking the question. But instead, they're looking elsewhere. They're looking for someone or something that can somehow provide for their needs. Because they think God can't do it. They've strayed. They're looking for something else. And so it's the wrong question for us to be asking, because nothing else can provide for our needs. Only God can. And David understands that, and that's why he points this out, saying there are many who are saying this, but it's the wrong question to ask. Because you're seeking help and supply of your needs from someone or something other than God. And God is the only source of all that we need. And David says in verse 7 that God has put more joy in his heart than those who have their grain and wine abound. And if you think about a time in which there's a famine, you think a Lego set is probably not a need. I think we can all pretty much agree on that. But food certainly has to be a need, right? You need food to live. You can only go so many days and so many nights without food. But David doesn't actually see it that way. He says that there's more joy in his heart than those who have lots of food and plenty. You know, and you think this feast that you see on the screen up here is probably even more extravagant than that, what David has pictured in his mind. But he says that he has more with the Lord than he has with all the food and drink he could possibly want. So he has found what he needs. David is looking at one of the most basic needs, especially so in a famine. And he's saying, I need God more than I need food. God has given me more. There I have more with the Lord than I have with all the food I could possibly ever want or eat. And so if David is able to say that, and he sees that a very basic need that everyone in the room would agree, food is a need, he says, I need God more. God is the one who's truly going to supply for me. This food is only going to last so long, even in a famine, when he has people who are straying away because they're looking elsewhere. So David's, his hope is fixed on the Lord. And because of that, because he has found what he needs, he has rest. Again, this ties in so tightly with Psalm chapter 3. It's likely that's the reason whoever compiled them, put them back to back, is because they both have this topic of lying down and resting, trusting in God, knowing that the Lord is the one who provides for David's needs. And it shows here that he physically rests again. You think when a nation is in turmoil, as our nation was when the coronavirus first hit, you know, and our leaders, our government, many of them worked 20-plus hour days to try to figure out what they were going to do. You would imagine in time of need, of famine, where he has people that are straying away from his rule, that David would want to stay up as long as he could, try to figure out how do we get them back, how do we get enough food, how do we save enough money here and cut our costs here. But instead, we see that his trust is in God. God has given David all that he needs. And so, yes, there is planning, there is a right time for that, but David, is in a sense, is able to take a day off because he knows that God doesn't take a day off. God is always on the throne, always in control, and always supplies all of his needs. So he finds peace in God. He's able to rest. God has given him what he needs, and it's only God who can provide that safety and that peace. He says, "For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And so as we think about how this relates to us today, as we think about this, the idea is not that we go back and we take a Sunday afternoon nap and you're applying the sermon. That's not the reality here, because there are much more serious needs that we have that we are so often tempted to look elsewhere to supply for our needs. And this psalm is a reminder that the peace that comes from following God, from doing what is right, is so worth it. Doing so leads to true joy that cannot be obtained from any other source. No food, no job, no church, no house, no candidate can ever give us that true joy that comes from having our needs fulfilled by God. And as we think about this and we remind ourselves that God is all we need and that God sustains us and provides for us, it's important for us to remind ourselves of what God has done in our lives. You all have experienced different ways in which God has worked, and I don't always know what every single way of that is. I know for us that one way God has provided is in me being here this morning, how I have seen God work to bring us together. And I can remind myself of that, of the feelings that I had in that time when we weren't sure if this is where God wanted us to be or not. I can remind myself of that time. When I feel uncertain, I know God led us here, and it was clear. So even though I don't know for certain what's happening now, I know that God has been faithful, and he will continue to be. Another way is in the looking forward to meeting our little girl. As many of you know, we lost the baby the beginning of this year in February. And to think that God would bless us with a second baby in the same year is mind-boggling. But at the same time, there's that fear that comes every single appointment that we go to, holding our breath, hoping that everything's okay. And when there are times like that in our lives, it's what then we look back and say, God helped us through that time. God was faithful to us. God has provided for us. And God is in control. And so we use those circumstances in our life, as you do as well, to, like David, remind ourselves when times come up that are hard, that we know that God has been faithful. This is what God has done in the past. It doesn't make it easy. It doesn't, take away any kind of issues that we have. But it brings us peace to know that God is in control. He knows what is happening, and he knows what will happen. And obviously, you can't beat around the bush. This ties in so directly with Tuesday when the election happens. Many of us are hoping and praying for a similar outcome in the election. And we know that depending on who is elected, whether that's Joe Biden or Donald Trump, that things could change for us. Things could look differently. And so, like David, my encouragement to you this week is especially on Tuesday, but also on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and so on, is to remind ourselves what God has done, to pray faithfully, to vote, but to not lose sight of the fact that God is on the throne. He's in control. And so even if the outcome is not what we hope for, we do not need our particular candidate to be elected. We do not need all of the freedoms that we are able to enjoy, as great as they are and as much as we all hope that they remain. We need God. David had people who were looking elsewhere at other things that they needed. We ourselves are tempted to look elsewhere, to try to find fulfillment and to the supply of our needs from other things. But we need to remind ourselves time after time, especially this week, that God is all we need. And yes, we pray. That's why we're having an 18-hour prayer time today. And we'll continue to pray. And yes, we work hard And yes, we pray that God allows us to retain some of our freedoms that we're able to enjoy. But God is what we need. He's what I need, and he's what you need. And so this week, my challenge to you, as it is to me, is to remind ourselves of what God has done in our life, to focus on that. When you feel discouraged or scared or fearful or uncertain, and to remember that it is God and God alone that is the source of all we need. Father, I thank you for the ability that we have to trust in you, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the King. You are in control, you are sovereign, and you are the one with all the power and all the cards. Lord, it can seem so, it can be so difficult because we look at things through our human eyes and our faulty understanding, God, but I pray that this week we would praise you and would worship you for who you are and what you have done, that we would focus on your character and your attributes and your faithfulness. God, I pray for this upcoming election. God, we ask that your will would be done. Lord, that no matter the results, we would stay faithful to you, faithful in prayer, using it as opportunity to be a witness to those around us. God, give us boldness, give us wisdom, give us tact to take the message of hope to a lost and dying world who, regardless of their political affiliation, need you. As we do every day, God. May we seek you for all of our needs and trust in you as David did in times that are hard and times that are good, Lord. We thank you for your love for us and sending Jesus to die for us on the cross. May we give you all the glory and honor that are rightfully yours. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So remember that challenge this week. Take that message of hope to those around you and recall God's faithfulness